This is it. Today is the court-ordered deadline for children and parents recently separated at the border to be reunited, and it appears the government is not going to make that deadline. You remember President Trump's policy criminalized everyone illegally crossing the border, even those seeking asylum. So more than 2,500 children had to be removed, which wasn't well documented, so it's been a logistical nightmare. Efren Olivares is a lawyer with the Texas Civil Rights Project, which represents more than 300 parents separated from their children. He's outside the federal courthouse in McAllen, Texas. Efren, what's your sense of how reunification is going?
Well, it's going very chaotically. It's been very disorganized, and it confirms what we've suspected all along, that when the government started separating families, they had no plan in place whatsoever. Out of the 382 parents and families that we represent, we have been able to confirm that 73 were reunited and released. 26 more have been reunited in detention. And at least 75 are still in adult detention facilities, so necessarily they're not with their children. And 6 parents, at least, that we represent have been deported without their children. Their children remain at an ORR shelter in the U.S.
Well, and what happens there? Because we understand that's one of the biggest problems, is that hundreds of parents have been deported without their children, some of them because they were told in these quick interviews that they had with lawyers that that was the easiest way for them to get their children back.
Absolutely. We've been able to locate 2 of our 6 clients who were deported to Guatemala and Honduras, and they've told us that they didn't want to leave their children behind, that they want their children with them. They were led to believe that if they signed a voluntary departure to be deported expeditedly, they would get their children quickly, and they didn't. Now it's weeks later, and they still don't have their children. Their children remain in the U.S.
We'll talk about how this works, because we understand the government shuttles kids from shelters where they've been all across the country to the parking lots of detention centers where their parents are, and then the children are handed over to these nonprofits, non-governmental faith-based groups that help them get to a destination. Maybe it's raising money to buy a ticket to fly them home. That seems actually awfully odd that the government's handing children over to NGOs who are, you know, wonderful organizations, but still seems kind of odd. And then they house them, clothe them, or send them home. Tell us how it works.
It's incredibly challenging for civil society organizations, for nonprofits like ours, to deal with the federal bureaucracies of ICE, of CBP, of the Office of Refugee Resettlement to try to get these families reunited. Not only because of a resource constraint, but also because the process is very slow and complicated and confusing for these parents. Now, from the government's perspective, it should be a lot easier because they are supposed to have all the databases, all the information of where the children and their parents are. So it's a matter of political will and putting the resources necessary to reunite them immediately.
But they don't have. That's what we've discovered, right? They don't really have the data.
Apparently, they don't have enough data or enough matched data to connect children to the parents they were separated from to be able to meet this deadline.
What happens if parents want to stay and seek asylum?
So for them, they will continue to pursue their asylum claims from the destination where they are being released to. And we are trying our best to make sure that they have enough legal support. But we're based here in Texas, and these families are going to Virginia, Chicago, Boston, L.A. It's really challenging.
One of the biggest criticisms from those who support President Trump's mandate is that these are people who disappear, that they don't come back for their hearings. But we understand that these parents are being equipped with ankle monitoring bracelets.
Yeah, so most of the parents who are released have ankle monitors, but it's also a misconception. It's a myth that people evade their immigration hearings. There was a program that this administration ended, the Family Case Management Program, mm-hmm. that even the private companies that run the detention centers, they conducted the data. And with the support and the guidance for these families, over 99% of them, 99.6 of them, showed up for their court hearings.
Yeah. Look, what happens to, it seems like the biggest sticking point right now, there's a smaller group of parents that the government has decided are unfit to have the children. They may be criminals, or maybe they aren't the actual relatives of the children. But it seems like the biggest sticking point is the hundreds of parents who left the country. What happens if they can't be reunited? We understand some of them left thinking their children might get a better chance if they stayed behind and even went into the foster system. Is that one of the paths here?
Well, it's up to a parent to ultimately make a voluntary and fully informed decision. I find it very hard to believe that hundreds of parents made that decision. And we know that at least our clients who have been deported did not. They were misled. So for the government is going to make the argument that these parents voluntarily left their children, I would like to see videos of those conversations to make sure that there was no coercion, no duress, and that the decision was indeed voluntary and willing.
And the government did say this week that 127 parents declined to take their children back and were deported without them. And we're hoping that they would go to relatives in the U.S. But as you said, you'd like to hear those conversations. Efren Olivares, a lawyer with the Texas Civil Rights Project there in McAllen, Texas. Efren, thank you.
Thank you very much.